May you be peaced. Thank you, Lord. We offer what from you to let your kingdom have surprise to benefit your kingdom and people. They still need help. People, they still need your gospel. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have an usher to come over to collect the offering. In this moment, we can have a meditation to prepare our heart to worship. In the meantime, I also announce something because we are first aid to here. So we have childcare in, if you go out this door, go forward on your right side, and then the first room on your left side is 117. If you have child need to be care, then you can go there. We have some brother and sister to help. Okay, today, as you can see, we have Rosewood Baptist Church brother and sister and our speaker, Paul Lam, Mr. Paul Lam here. They help us to have this starting and share God's word here. So we thank God. They have amazing praising with us, lead us into this spirit. So I can pass the time to Mr. Paul Lam and let him to also introduce themselves. Okay, please. We cannot control everything. So God's always give us the different experience. This is our speaker car, so he has to take care of it. In the meantime, I can briefly introduce how we can have Mr. Paul Lam, they come here. So when we start thinking we have our stand-alone English worship, because before we don't have place and time in the rental church, which is the Indonesian church, so we cannot do it. But we see the need. We need English worship for English congregation. And we believe our church will start with Chinese, Mandarin, and English as in parallel. It's because we know the second generation or some, not just second generation, or some English people also our serving target. We believe not just Chinese, so because we are in Canada. That's why we pray to God for providing help to let us to start the English ministry and English worship. So when we, by chance, we can know Pastor Michael Young, which is, he came over last week in our Chinese worship. He shared the God's word with us. So their church, Rosewood Baptist Church, they very understand our situation, and he willing to help and not just providing some suggestion or guidance, and they really practically help us to start this November English worship alone. And that's why today the praise team come together and Mr. Paul Lam come together to share the God's word. Mr. Paul Lam, he finished the photology study in what they call the Canada, the one joy with the one joy with Tyndale, school, yeah, that one, and he finished the study. And right now he's still working, but he, in the meantime, he also serves in his church, preaching, and also lead youth ministry. So today he came over to help us to share the God's word. And the following 3 weeks, their church also will come, Pastor Yang and another co-worker, they also come to help in this English ministry, English worship. So in the meantime, he also encouraged us, we don't just rely on others to start. We should, brother and sister, we also see this necessity to start our English ministries, and we should work together and help this ministry to grow. So we, in here, I also pass this message to everyone. We pray, put in our prayer, and then see how God lead us. So today, we are so thankful we have Mr. Paul Lam to come here. So now, I think I can pass the time to him.
Hey, good morning, church. How are you today? This is good. So we're so excited that we have our own English worship, right? Okay, I am Pastor Paul Lam from Rosewood Baptist Church. It is my privilege to bring our music band Eagles to be here to worship our God with you. Now, our church has summer camp for the kids in summer holiday. So at the same time, we need volunteers to help to run the summer camp. And the high school students, that they need the volunteers' hours, then it is a perfect match so that we can have a group of teenagers to come to work as a volunteer. So our pastor taught them drum, taught them guitar, while I work on their spiritual need. This year, we formed this music band and start participating in Sunday worship. And for myself, I have been a member of Rosewood Baptist Church for 25 years. And I am serving in the board for 8 years. 4 years ago, I committed myself to the Lord for the full-time ministry. And I have my own business to earn for my living and serving in church as a voluntary pastor. Start from this September. My main ministry are looking after the teens fellowship and the Christian education. Now, for church planting, it's not an easy task. A group of believers gathering together is the beginning of a church. But what happened next? In the book of Acts from the New Testament, it records the history of how the early church began. Then from there, we can see how the early church and its believers came together. They prayed together. They broke bread together in remembrance of Jesus Christ. Slowly, the more and more believers gathered because of allotting of food. The disciples chose deacons in order to provide for a better allotment of food. This helped the disciples to spend more time in teaching and prayers. This church model lasts from the early church to the present time. But church building is not only happened in the New Testament. When we read the scripture, we see that from the Old Testament, the Israelites began as a clan and evolved to a nation, and it is a similar model to how our present-day church is evolved. This model not only applies to how a church is planted, it is a model that helps the church grow. At the time when I was preparing the sermon for today, it first came into my mind is from the New Testament, in the book of Acts, that is talking about early church. How did they set up the early church? Then I thought, oh, this is the perfect match for today's sermon, how to start a new church. But afterwards, at the same time, I got to prepare the Chinese Sunday school that is talking about numbers. Then when I look at numbers, then I find that building a church is not only from the New Testament, is also for the Old Testament as well. So that's why today I'm going to share with you is about the book of Numbers. That how did the Israelites, that they move from a clan to a nation. Now, I'm not going to talk about like the book of 1 Samuel. At that time, the Israelites asked the prophet Samuel to appoint a king to lead them such as all the other nations. Today, we look at a story from the book of Numbers. Now, the book of Numbers is a book about numbers. Now, some of us may be discouraged from reading this book because of all the numbers. A lot of people say, oh, I'm afraid of numbers. I'm not an accountant. Oh, there is so many people that you add up for those numbers. That makes me a headache. Okay. But to other people, if they are interested in number, it is a different story. To some curious minds, okay, it will bring to them many questions. For example, it records that all the tribes totaled 600,000 people, but did not include the Levites. Or you may have noticed there are 600,000 in numbers, but only counted age 20 and up who are male and are strong for battles. Now, if most of the families like us consist of four, then our estimate would be there about 2 million Israelites that when they are leaving Egypt, cross over the Red Sea. If for approximately 2 million people, how long would it take to cross the Red Sea? Or to feed 2 million, how much manna have to fall from the sky? So every day it will be just like raining. Right, the manna to feed for 2 million people. So scholars have racked their brains trying to figure out of this 600,000 people question. So if the book of Numbers is not a good name for this book, what do you think they would call it? Perhaps In the Wilderness will be the better name, because you can tell it is about the life of the Israelites in the wilderness. Isn't it much more descriptive from the title? Once then you know, oh, you see, in the wilderness, then you know that is what they are going through for the Israelites. From Exodus chapter 19, verse 1, it said, on the third new moon after the people of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, on that day, they came into the wilderness of Sinai. The Lord spent 11 months at Mount Sinai to teach the Israelites the laws and the Ten Commandments. After the crossing of the Red Sea, in the second year and the first day of the second month, the Lord commanded Moses to conduct a census of the people, to count the number of male who are ages 20 and above. The purpose is to train them as warriors and prepare them for the battles ahead. There were not computers at the time nor software calculation, but they can complete the census in a lightning record of only 20 days. Okay? This is not an easy task. They were successful in completing the census because the Lord had instructed Moses how to prepare and complete the census. No wonder Moses completed the census at the record speed. Now, the Lord instructed them to do this in accordance to each tribe. So each tribe would select a leader. Each leader would make the count and report to his superior. So the census can be simultaneously conducted within the 12 tribes, but the 12 tribes did not include the Levites, who were dedicated only to the God's work. They took care of the tabernacle, all of the utensils for offerings. They were not part of the warriors trained for battles. So after the census was completed, the Israelites were basically divided into 13 tribes, ready to move and leave the wilderness. Now at that time, the Israelites were no longer just a bunch of numbers. They were now divided into tribes, into groups, ready for training and battle. Now let us first look at their strategic locations. They were divided into five groups: the East Group, South Group, West Group, North Group, and the Central. The tribe of Judah led from the east, followed by the tribe of Issachar and Zebulun. From the south, we have the leader of the tribe from Reuben, together with the tribes of Simeon and Gad. From the west, we have the leader from the tribes of Ephraim, together with the tribes of Manasseh and Benjamin. And finally, from the north, we have the leader from the tribes of Dan, together with the tribes of Asher and Naphtali. And in the central location were the Levites. Now when traveling, okay, they moved with the tribes of Judah, followed by Reuben, and then Levites, and then with Ephraim, and finally Dan. Every time they moved from one location to another location, the Levites had to gather the tabernacle together with all the particles in it. When they have arrived at a new location, the tribes strategically locate themselves in a rectangular position, with the Levites setting up the tabernacle in the central location. So we can see that the tabernacle is always set up in the center of the camp. So this is about the summary of Numbers chapter 1 to chapter 4. Now, so what have we learned from this? First of all, we learned together as a family. On Numbers chapter 1, verse 2, take a census of the whole Israelite community by their clans and families, listing every man by name one by one. Now, the Lord instructs Moses that this time the census is to be taken by the clans and family of the whole Israelite community. As such, the men had to be grouped with their families to be trained for battles. There are advantages of this. So firstly, the families of the whole Israelite community, as such, the men had to be grouped with their family to be trained for battles. So there are advantages of this. Firstly, family and their relatives all have common background and experiences, so they can concentrate on strategical training. There was no need for men to spend time for icebreaking. Okay, they don't need to spend time to learn from each other. Secondly, the tribal social structure provides a ready-made system for military leadership. And thirdly, the most important part is their instinct nature to cooperate and working together to protect their own families and clans. Now, in our church, we have similar organization instruction today. Fellowship and small groups are formed in similar way. We would use our similar life stages to form fellowship so that we would have some common ground. Now, we have high school fellowship with students from grade 9 to grade 12, all attending high school. So they are facing similar situation, like deciding about the post-secondary education, right? So we bring them all to the university fair so that they can all go together, they learn, they talk together, okay? Because they are on the same pace. In our English congregation, we also have a fellowship for people just starting out their careers. So they group together to share about their working experiences. Then we have family fellowship, each with families with children. Now this group began when their children were young. They have grown together and some of them are now grandparents. And their latest topic are their precious grandchildren now. We also have the senior fellowship. They have worked it most of their lives and this is their golden year. Enjoy their senior years with dim sum and afternoon tea. So this is how our church are grouped into fellowship, organized in orderly manner to give support to each other, helping each other grow and mature in Christ. But most importantly, okay, let's not forget that fellowship is not only studying the scripture. It's not you're going to just listen to another sermon. The purpose of fellowship is to support caring for each other, that we pray for each other. So brother and sisters in a fellowship is just like in a family. Showing support is very important because it means that you care about each other. In this day and age, we are in constant spiritual fear, whether it's family, work, money, or leisure. These are all things that can constantly challenge us. If you see a brother or sister absent on a Sunday worship or fellowship, remember to take the time to care for them. Let them know they are not alone and you can lend a hand to support them. On Numbers chapter 1, verse 3, you and Aaron are to count according to their divisions all the men in Israel who are 20 years old or more and about to serve in the army. Now the Lord calls for census of the whole Israelite community. We are looking at male ages 20 and above and fit for battle. So males under the age of 20 are not counted. Male over 20 but not fit for battles are not counted. Healthy male, whether you are 50 or even 80, are also included in the census. So clearly, we can see that this census was a count for how much, was not a count for how much manna is required to feed the whole Israelite community, but to form a group of fighting men ready to take the land from the Canaanites. And the numbers uncounted for would be backup and support for the armies. Now the census of the Israelite community, how does that affect us or what does it mean to us today? Now today there is no census, but what we count is our blessings in church. The main purpose of census then was to count the number fit to go into battle. Today, what we count are the people fit for the spiritual warfare. Age doesn't matter. Male or female doesn't matter. You don't need to have census in church. But of course, when we serve, being skilled and gifted is an advantage. But that's not the point. We can learn to serve. What God is seeking is devoted heart and a willingness to serve. That's what it means to be fit for battle, the spiritual battle. Now, if you are young, you are skilled, but without a willingness to serve, it is meaningless. If you are young, you are gifted, and you are willing to serve, then you are the one to be counted. You are in the golden age, thinking that you have little to offer, but still you are willing to serve, then you are counted as well. Now in Christmas is coming, right? Christmas is always the busiest season of all. Okay, being a local church in our community, we often want to take this opportunity to share the good news with our neighbors. So Christmas is a time of celebration of joy in the world. So music and Christmas carols are often the first that comes to mind. So to produce an evening of Christmas celebration, then we need musicians, we need singers, we need actors for the drama to play the skit or play. Okay, then to us, we will come up in mind to a whole list of people. Then we start to talk to them, invite them to come to serve. Okay, but Christmas is a high season for vacation as well. So a lot of people is out of town. Okay, so for the people, then they can sing, they can play, they can dance. But if they cannot come for the Christmas celebration, then it doesn't help. Okay, so we got to get the people that who is available and willing to serve. Okay, and this is how an evening of Christmas celebration begin. That usually we begin about 2 months earlier. So in our church right now is already thinking about the Christmas Eve now. So how is a church run or operate? Now we have different area of ministries such as spiritual training, we have missionary work, we have praise and worship ministry, caring ministry, even administrative and maintenance work. Now none of us can work alone on all these ministries. Even if one can take on many of these tasks, it is not healthy for a church. So will you contribute to the church by serving in one of these areas? Even if we feel inadequate, okay, are you willing to put in the time and effort, or even in monetary terms, to learn how to serve? A critical time of need. Are you willing to be counted as one of the fighters to serve? Brothers and sisters, today I'm here that I can share this message with you is not a coincidence. It is because there are brothers and sisters among you have spent numerous effort, prayer, and countless hours to plan this. They are the one counted as the fighters. What about you? Will you be willing to be the fighter and serve in the God's kingdom? The third thing that we're looking at is talking about who is at the center. Now, let me first clarify difference between center and target or goal. Okay. Target or goal is the something that we can achieve. For example, a salesman, there is a target for them every month. Okay, there is a certain number of sales that he has to achieve. That is a target and not a purpose or not a center. Last year, our church set a target of sharing the good news in hope that we can help at least 50 people to commit their lives to Jesus Christ and be baptized. This is a goal that we have set for ourselves. Or we have a 5 years plan to reach a goal of a certain number of regular attendance at a church. Then that is a target as well. Now, recent graduates also set up goals for themselves, perhaps to earn a living by age of 40, then to start their own career and business from provincial to across the country, or perhaps growing into the international business. Those are the target for them. Then, what is center? Now, center is something that leads you or you do something for. Okay. This is a bit of more difficult to describe. Okay. It is not talking about numbers. Okay. Now, if I just use the example before, okay, I say my goal is to achieve 10,000 sales to earn enough commission to support my family. I need to do that because of my family. So we set a goal of 50 baptism or 5 years from now, regular attendance increase. So we need to do it is because of God. So I need to earn that commission is because of my family. My family is the center. We want to target the 50 baptism that in the end of the year. And this is because of God. Because of we want to do it for God. So God is the center. A lot of time, we want to protect our own interest. But at the time when we are protecting our interest, that we have to be careful not carry on too far, leading to self-centered. Now, have you not noticed this self-centeredness seem to be a natural phenomenon of the modern world? Even the toddler asks why as a way of expressing its self-centeredness. I wondered, after explaining the why to them, would they actually understand? Right? Now, who is at the center is very important, because the set of centers would greatly affect how you will set your target or goals and how to you will be motivated to work towards it. Again, let us use the example from before. Now, a single salesman, okay, without family, can easily make enough for his own living without much planning to living on his own. His center is on his own. But however, if this salesman is married with family, then for the good of his family, he will work hard to make a good living because he put his family as his first priority. His center is his family. So you see, there is a big difference. That what does he work for? Okay, what is the center? Okay, it will make a big difference. Brothers and sisters, is our lives centered on Jesus Christ? Now, don't mistaken that only pastors and missionaries are chosen to be servant of God, to be set apart as holy. Israelites have 12 tribes, and it was the Levites who were set apart to God's work. But God commanded all the Israelites with the 10 commandments and laws. Purpose is to require all God's people to be holy. So it's everyone to be holy. Now, if we are to be holy with God as the center of our life, we would be humble. Our relationship with one another is breached when we acknowledge that we are all made in God's image. We are created equal. Even if we differ in strength and weakness, the strong will know that they were gifted with grace, not to be boasted. The weak will know that God will provide, that they are not to look down on themselves. So human relationship will be reconciled, and there would be no conflict. Now, if a family put God as its center, there will be harmony among its members. Parents will understand that God are a gift from God, and their role is to take care of the children and discipline them. Nowadays, there are the tiger moms and helicopter parents. These parents have lined a lot of activities for their children, whether their children like it or not. They think all these activities would be beneficial for their children's future. But on the flip side, it may be overwhelming to their children, causing more harm than not. These parents have not thought about what God has planned for them. As children, do they understand that God has entrusted the parents to discipline them? Fear the parents, and there will be harmony between parents and their children. Have you ever thought that God can be the center in marketplace or in your workplace? Okay, work itself is a blessing from God. Christians go to work in the marketplace with a Christ-like personality. Purpose is to give glory to God, even if it means to get along with people who are opposing you. For the purpose of giving glory to God, it would mean you will not go against your moral ethics. Or for the purpose of giving glory to God, you do not join to buying lottery with your co-worker. We are set apart as holy because God is holy. Now for me, I have been involved in an addiction removal ministry for 3 years. It is to help the people to get rid of the drug addiction. Okay, to get rid of the drug addiction, we purely use the gospel and Jesus Christ. Now, at the addiction center, daily routine is centered on God. Okay, once you are addicted, it is for life. One of the teacher in the addiction center say, okay, the first time you take drugs, or one time you take drugs, it takes the whole life to get rid of it. Okay, so that is a serious problem. Okay. Now, once addiction is removed, okay, then these individuals leave the camp and return to their homes and society. Once again, they will return to the world on the outside. So what to do? We pray that while these individuals are at the addiction center, they will come to know Jesus Christ, understand that God has a plan for them. So they, once they leave, they will continue to look to Jesus and the Holy Spirit to guide them to lead a drug-free life. So we try to put Jesus and we try to put God as the center of their lives. Now, we encourage brothers and sisters to live a God-centered life. What about the church? Now, then in Numbers chapter 10, verse 11 to 12 and 34 to 36, it clearly tells us that now they are moving on. The Israelites, that they are moving on. Okay, that they have their, when they are moving, they have their ark in the front. So once they stop at any location, then the tabernacle is right inside. It means that in the Israelite community, for them, God is at the center. Now, God calls the whole Israelite community to strategically plan to head out from Mount Sinai to the Promised Land. Yeah. With the ark leading, then the camps from the east, from the south, then tabernacle, west, and the north. Once the Levites have settled the tabernacle, all tribes settled around the tabernacle, and the ark returns to the center of the tabernacle. Indeed, the ark being the Lord's presence is in the center. Now for a church, church is formed by a group of believers. Now notice, it is a group of believers, not just a group of people. If we gathered without Jesus Christ, we would become a community center instead of a church. Church is a place with God as the center of it all. With God, everything is possible. Where there are people, there will be conflicts and situations that are challenging. But if brothers and sisters are willing to put God first, we will not feel that we are more superior than others. We would become more accommodating and conflict may be avoided. When ministry encounter conflict, we too have to put God first, seek God's will in prayer, ask God to give guidance to us, whether it is as big as a nation or as small as a family. What we most afraid of is trouble within. Resolving conflicts from within is often more challenging than facing our enemies on the outside. A church working together will be able to soften out any troubles from within. Therefore, focusing our resources to share the gospel to the world. 3 years ago, our church went through very dark time as well. Okay. At that time, I was a deacon and was fully aware of the situation going on. At that time, all ministry went into a halt because all time and energy were used to solve the conflict from within. As we were faced with conflict from within, we were sad and downcast. But as we resolve the conflict, and again, we put our energy to share the good news as our mission, then we come encouraged. So when the first church began, everyone is happy and joyful. Everybody is looking forward to build a perfect church. Today, you have an independent English worship. This is a milestone to celebrate. I pray that all of you will be God-focused, offer up yourself to be a fighter, and to serve, whether in fellowship or cell group, to build each other up. Now, with all these things, I believe the church will surely be built up. With all these things, the whole church is going to move forward smoothly. Let us bow our head and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for today that we have the English congregation and we have the English worship for today. This is truly that is the grace of God. And this is the milestone of the Mississauga Christ Life Community Church. We pray that all the brothers and sisters, all the members and in the church, that they are all willing to put God you first, that to serve in the church, that when we have God in our church, that we can resolve all different kinds of troubles, all different kinds of obstacles, and we are willing to be the fighter for the spiritual warfare. And we are looking forward to have the whole church that move on smoothly with the guidance of you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.